Okay, this is the PMB Coordinating Committee meeting from Friday, March 30th. Mary Berg, we were just coming out of an executive session where we dealt with confidential legal issues. We also dealt with questions of how we report out of executive session for public purposes, and we'll be making a report out as soon as we come to agreement about that procedure. Mary Berg is the secretary of the committee. This is Dave Adelson. I'm the chair. Mary, can you call the roll, please?
Okay, Dave Adelson.
Here.
And Greg Guma.
Here.
Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Barb Rondawa.
Here.
Ray LaForge.
Here.
Okay. Mary Berg is here. Wendy Schrell. Okay, I'll come back to her. Ambrose Lane. Okay. Lydia Brazon. Okay, Chandra Hauptman.
Here.
Okay.
This is Lydia. I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
And Chandra's here.
Dan Siegel. Yeah, I got you. Dan, I think, is on the call, or he's still not.
I'm wondering whether he might have gotten knocked off.
I don't know. Wendy Schrell, are you on yet?
I'm here, Dave.
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're here. Okay. So, Ambrose Lane is not here. Wendy Schrell is not here yet. That may be.
Okay, Dan, if you want to remute yourself for a second or two, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay. Wendy and Ambrose are not here. Everybody else is here.
Great.
Wendy.
We have quorum.
Okay, oh. Wendy.
Okay, we have quorum. And the agenda that was sent around, the proposed agenda, was that we spend the first, I think it was 30 minutes, talking about the digital distribution project. And then the next period talking about the PMB meeting planning, and then two items of or then new business. And I have a couple of quick things that I had proposed dealing with. One is getting our board policies to our staff, because I've received emails saying that they don't have them. And the other was a proposal regarding the contracts policy. Is there a motion to accept that agenda?
I so move.
Okay, amendments to it?
Yeah, Dave, could we set a time tonight here for about 2 hours at the most?
Okay. Is there any objection to agreeing to, why don't we say 1 hour, 50 minutes? We adjourn at the stroke of midnight on the East Coast.
That's because, you know, it costs a lot of problems.
Yeah, I understand.
Sarv, can you raise the volume on your phone?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I cannot hardly hear you, Sarv.
Let me see if I can.
Can you speak closer in or something? You're almost inaudible.
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's better.
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Okay.
That's better.
Okay, is there any objection to an agreement that we'll finish in 1 hour, 50 minutes? Hearing no objection, we'll adopt that. Can we adopt this agenda? Hearing no objection, we'll do that. So the first thing is the digital distribution project, the contract proposal. And just to remind, the contracts policy says that when the executives are contemplating a contract, they let the coordinating committee know. And if the coordinating committee deems it necessary, it can ask that the contract not be executed until it's reviewed by the board. In this case, since we're considering contract with a person who's at the moment a board member, that requires board review because of a conflict of interest. There's been an email from the KPFA LSB, and certain members of that LSB, particularly their treasurer, have raised repeatedly questions about whether the procedure we're engaging conforms with the law, our fiduciary responsibilities and ethics. And so we asked our attorney to please give us his opinion with respect to how we deliberate on that, on this question. And Dan, if you could share that with us, we'd appreciate it. And then after that, after we deal with that issue, then we need to talk about any recommendations with respect to the proposal to the PMB when it deliberates. Dan?
Yes. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay. So I have been asked about the legalities of the proposed contract with Rob Robinson. And my advice to the National Board and the ED has been that I believe this contract is legal. And there are basically two parts of my opinion. The first part is that I think it does not involve self-dealing because Rob is not part of the process in terms of agreeing or approving this contract. So he's not dealing for himself, which is what self-dealing means. In terms of whether this process is consistent with the California Corporations Code, as well as the board's duty of fiduciary responsibility towards the organization, I think that the facts underlying the proposal make it clear that there is no violation here, and I'll set out what I think the critical facts are in this situation. First of all, it's a short-term agreement. As I understand it, it's an agreement for a period of 3 or 4 months. And so it seems reasonable if the board chooses to make this agreement without going through the normal search process, because that search process is likely to take as long as this contract is set to run. Second factor that I think that the board and the ED have considered is the fact that this is a position where speed and timing is of the essence in terms of getting someone on board. The work of the Licensing and Distribution Task Force has reached a point where it is important from the perspective of seeing that work go forward to get someone on board right away to complete the work of the task force and then implementation of its recommendations. And the other flip side of that timing issue is that it's important to get someone on board who can hit the ground running, in the sense that it would not make a lot of sense, and I, from the board's perspective, to hire someone on a 3 or 4 month agreement who would take a good chunk of that time simply getting up to speed on what's occurred and becoming familiar with the organization and the work that's gone forward on the Licensing and Distribution Task Force. And so that made it peculiarly useful to try to get someone who's familiar with the work. And, you know, my perspective as someone who's worked with the task force's counsel is that the two people who would be most apt applicants for the position would be David Adelson and Rob Robinson. And my understanding is that Dave is not available. So that leaves Rob as someone who could come on board, hit the ground running, and complete the work. I think if there's a decision to make this a permanent position, it seems then it would be appropriate to post it and go through the process of selecting someone for it permanently while the job is being filled on a short-term basis.
Can
so
you
that's
also
my thinking about it.
Can you also address the question of Rob's status as a board member? Whether he would have to step down from a legal point of view, I'm not saying anything relative to some of the other arguments that have been made, but from a legal point of view, what does he need? What would he need to do if the board voted to go ahead?
I think that there'd be no legal requirement that he step down, and we've had other board members who have been hired either on a short-term or long-term basis to work for the organization. He would have to obviously abstain from voting on any decisions that affect either his status or the future of the licensing and distribution work. I think he would have to abstain from those votes. And if he were to ultimately, say, be hired on a long-term or permanent basis to do this work, he wouldn't have to step down, but I think as occurred previously with the National Program Director, it might be wise for him to consider that, not because of the legal requirement, but because one could foresee that there would be a large number of issues that would come before the board where he might have to recuse himself so that his board service would be compromised. But I don't think there's any need for him to step down for a short-term position.
Okay. And I just want to again emphasize that that legal opinion is just that, an opinion from a legal point of view. The question of the internal institutional disposition on that question is a separate matter. It's open for discussion, and then after we've dealt with the legal issue, I think we need to deal with the other issues associated with it. Okay, if there's no discussion that's needed, then we can go straight into discussion about our feelings about the project and whether or not we care to make any recommendation to the board on that point.
I do.
Okay, well, I'll sign off then.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, you're welcome. Good night.
So this discussion is, that was, you were soliciting from the legal standpoint only, or?
That was his opinion about what our legal requirements would be, but there are obviously, actually, before we talk about it, I think, Greg, it's appropriate that Greg make a sort of presentation of the proposal to the committee.
Sure, I'd love to. Well, just to recap, this proposal grew out of the discussions initially last year concerning open source licensing, which were initiated really before I arrived, but really were focused when Lawrence Lessig addressed the board last June. And then in the fall, the Licensing and Distribution Task Force was formed, which Rob Robinson convened. And in January, the board at the meeting in Houston passed a resolution requesting that management develop a plan to pursue internet licensing. And so what our task is as, in a sense, the goals of this project, which is a three-month sort of phase one of a long-term process, is to get the licensing strategy based on Creative Commons finished and to the board by the July meeting, to identify some of the sources of funding and the partners that we will need in order to make this work, and also to come up with an index of all the management issues and concerns and best practices that will be needed in order to make this happen, along with a kind of a long-term work plan that could conceivably lead to some other kind of job being developed, but we don't really know that. And so specifically what would happen would be that we would continue consulting with the stakeholders and available experts, summarizing and getting in focus all the liabilities and issues relating to regulations and proposing potential operating and production guidelines to pull together the various efforts that management has been taking and would need to take to respond to this. And so we get a list of concerns, solutions, needs, infrastructure needs, budgets, and so forth, and a best practices guide, and possibly even develop a kind of an online tutorial that could be used to deal with copyright and regulatory issues, and then to go on from there to look at the external partners that we need to develop and possible funders. And involved with that would maybe be developing some funding proposals contacting some major donors and foundations. And then finally developing a long-term work plan, which would hopefully be done by July in time for the board meeting. So that's why the timing is significant. And we think it is significant because we're already, in a sense, lagging behind a number of other media institutions. The internet is expanding rapidly. The copyright and issues are, in a sense, blocking us now to some extent from from doing as much as we can in distribution. And so we really need to act on this so that we're in shape to begin going forward by the summer.
Okay, it's open for discussion.
Okay.
And actually, guys, since I am sort of the advocate of this, I think it's more appropriate that I turn the chair over to Sarv, although given that he signed that petition, maybe he's kind of an advocate in his own way. But I think it's probably best if I yield the chair.
Dave,
if people don't mind, I'll just...
Actually, Dave? Dave?
Well, let me hear from Sarv first, and then you, Wendy. Yes, sir?
I'll take over the chair. Let me express a couple of my thoughts, and then I can take the chair over, and then you can take all the time.
Point of order?
If it's okay.
Yeah, sure. Hang on. Wendy, go ahead.
The point of order is that I am actually the vice chair of this committee.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. That's right. Okay, great. So we'll turn it over to Wendy. That's perfect.
Oh, great.
Okay,
ahead,
so Wendy, I'm going to yield the
no,
chair.
No, Dan, it's Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I have nothing to really add. I'll go later.
I'm just going to assume that Sarv is going to take a different position, and so let's hear from Sarv first and then Dave.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes, I might be agreeing with a lot of stuff, but I'm still mystified.
Let's hear it, Sarv.
Well, I'm you're hearing it. It's my turn. Let me speak. Okay? I think, Greg, you have raised some questions here for me. You're saying that... goals of the project, get the strategy going, and we're talking to all the stakeholders, and Dr. Lessig with Task Force convened by Rob, and then we have external partners, online tutorials, long-term work plan. But, you know, the people that are listening, our listeners, they want to know what is it? Before we even design any plan, what is it that we are trying to do? Is there any way you can put in simple terms so that our listeners can know what we are talking about here, so that they are not mystified?
I think I can. Although this is not really that simple a subject, digital distribution of audio contact is going to be the area of greatest growth for audience size in the future. And already a lot of other people involved in radio and audio production are already developing a way, an infrastructure to do this. So what we're trying to do is to put ourselves in a position where shows that are now being produced, which are only being aired on one station, will be available for worldwide distribution. We believe that just as Pacifica in the past has been able to attract support by providing content over the radio on a nonprofit basis, that if we can now provide this new platform for distribution, that we will develop a whole new generation of support. Young people are not in listening to terrestrial radio, and not only young people, but millions of people are no longer listening to terrestrial radio. They are getting content on demand, the type of content they want when they want it. And we need to be on the developing a platform and an infrastructure to deliver that content. We believe that that's going to be the way that we reach a massive new audience. In order to do that, we have to have a clear right to distribute that content. So that's right. Where the licensing agreement comes in. So that the programmers, not the staff programmers, but the literally hundreds of other programmers who produce public affairs and to some extent also music programmers, will, although they will still have complete authorship of their programs, we will be able to distribute their content to a much larger audience. Democracy Now! Has already done this, and the expansion of that has really been marked by their use of this new platform. They give away their content, and they are seeing a massive growth in their audience, not only as a result of that, it's the nature of their show, but also because of the distribution that they're doing. So what we're trying to do is to reach a whole new group of people going to where those people are listening.
Thank you. Have you conducted any kind of a financial impact of distribution of the content of people that produce from outside the network on our Pacifica programming?
I don't quite understand your question, and you were echoing.
What I'm saying is there any financial impact of if you begin to distribute anybody's program on Pacifica sites, would that have any impact on our own programming?
Right. No, it shouldn't. First of all, some of the programming is being stations, as some of the people in Pacifica have pointed, are to some extent podcasting now, and it hasn't had an impact on them.
Okay.
So far, but the issue
is
that a lot of what we're doing, we're not doing with really legal permission to do so.
So was there a problem that the problem arises only when you're getting it from outside the Pacifica?
No. The problem is this, is that we have the ability to stream, which is to say, as programs are airing, to stream those programs simultaneously by the Internet. But what we don't have is a clear right and ability to archive that program, to reorganize it, to re-aggregate it in other ways, and to make it available on an ongoing basis on demand, that is to say, whenever you want to get it, through, in a sense, like an Internet radio station.
Okay.
Once that content is archived and distributed, anyone can download it. It becomes, in a sense, free content through a new mechanism.
I understand, but the KPFA program,
yeah,
aren't
hello,
they all
hello. Hey, Sarv,
audio-cast? Yeah.
Well, how many more questions do you have? I think we should allow some back and forth here.
Well,
yeah,
just a couple of more.
Sarv, we have some time. I think Dave should respond.
Yeah.
And can I be added to the stack, please?
Well,
this is Lydia.
Well, yes.
In addition to our being able to log it, Brian DeShazer's asked that we don't use the term archive for posting on webs, but it's hard to have it to get out of, but we should do it. There's another issue, which is in terms of, you asked its impact, there's a couple different ways to do distribution, and they entail different strategies. One is you allow your audience to redistribute it, and you allow basically anybody who wants to build distribution based on that content, and that gets you to a much broader audience. The other is you control all the rights, and you are entirely responsible for all the distribution and also for all the costs of distribution and maintaining all those platforms. So one of the things that the Democracy Now! Contract did was it freed Democracy Now! To build, a whole lot more distribution. And that was to the benefit of Pacifica in some ways. That grew in ways it probably wouldn't have if it had been within Pacifica for a lot of different reasons. But there are also flaws in that contract in terms of Pacifica's interests, in my view. So the Creative Commons hybrid license approach is meant to protect certain interests of Pacifica's, and among them we crucially need when we build access to a much larger audience in this way to be sure that, for example, we have the opportunity to pitch to people, that no one's going to strip out funding solicitations and the rest, and attribution, we need to be credited for it, et cetera. But the basis of it, even if we could license all this stuff and be sure we had the right to license it, there is to distribute it, there's an advantage to taking a further step and allowing the community as a whole to be part of a larger distribution effort. And the analogy to the GNU public license that underpins open source software is that distribution system is a very broad-based one. And so over time, as more and more people avail themselves of that content and use that content, the commonwealth of the goods grows. But the business models aren't based on selling the good. The business models that derive from that are based on providing services to the community of users.
And so it actually has a very big impact on the type of institution and the way we become and the types of services. And that's sort of a big thing to grasp. It has a lot of different implications. And Sarv, you're bringing up some of the questions, like the question about impact. Not all of them are completely clear, and different people in the foundation have different levels of question. One of the things we need to do is, it's been pointed out, I was talking to a board member recently about the need, for example, to develop a clear pilot project. In other words, we don't put all our eggs in one basket. So this project is intended to allow Rob to spend the time to gather together all the disparate parts that are and the loose ends and whatnot and put it into a form that makes it, A, clear to the board, B, that has the consent of multiple stakeholders, and C, has the potential to be something we could show to funders or grantors and say, this is what we'd like to do. Will you give us the money to develop it further? And it distinguishes us from other people who are simply distributing. I'll make one last point, and that is that although there are difficulties and hurdles in this, there are going to be difficulties and hurdles that come from restrictions that are going to be placed on distribution by the large entities that control copyright to most music. And so going in this direction, for example, licensing online libraries of music that we're free to use, and then building up the systems where we take advantage of that preferentially, is going to eventually build us a level of freedom of distribution that will be denied to people who are exclusively using copyrighted content, because they'll be restricted to the terms defined through a negotiation with big copyright holders. There's lots of other stuff to say about it, too, but I'll yield the floor.
Thanks, Dave. Lydia's next. Lydia, are you there?
She's muted, probably.
Pound, pound one.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so just to be clear, we're considering what Greg's proposal is as a motion, right? And so I'm speaking in support of that.
Yeah.
In terms of the plan. Okay.
I don't think we are unless you make that
no,
as
we're
a motion.
Not.
I haven't heard it as a motion yet.
You haven't heard a motion.
No. Oh. Okay, but the point. What is the point of this agenda item then, so that I can be specific in my comments?
Is it
to have a discussion or?
It's a contract that we are considering entering into, and the contract's policy indicates that the coordinating committee reviews any potential contract before the executive can really, begin to implement it, and so. It's not so much, obviously the details of the proposal are important, but really what you're dealing with now is whether to allow this contract to go forward.
The contract for Rob or the...
The contract,
yeah.
Yeah, that,
yeah.
Well, I haven't had a detailed discussion with him about the specific terms, but he's presented the scope of work for what he would do. I've reviewed that with him. I've summarized it for you. And so if you pass the motion saying that this is an acceptable contract, then I would be able to, specifically perfect it.
I see. Okay, I just wanted to know which...
Hello?
Hello?
I disagree slightly. I think in this case, because of the conflict of interest issue, it has to go to the board, and you couldn't enter into it without a board motion addressing the conflict of interest. So I think in this case, one of the things the committee should consider doing is making a recommendation to the board about what it feels about that issue.
Yes, I agree. I'm sorry. I had actually mentioned that on the call last week with the PMB, that was really, in a sense, also the direction that I was looking for. So there's really two parts.
Okay.
Mary, I'd like to be on the staff.
Okay.
You're okay.
Hello? Okay, so then...
Anywhere else, please? Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, that's right. So so along those lines, if I'm clear as to what we're doing, I would like to simply say that, number one, I do support the plan as laid out, but most of the questions we would be answered if we had someone to look into it, which was why I am supporting the hire of Rob Robinson to do this, because it isn't First of all, this started out with a vision. Beyond the vision, there was a lot of research. Dr. Lessig met with the board last year. We've had plenty of examples, et cetera, and plenty of email about it. So this is not a new concept. But the remaining questions, which is how to actually execute this in a tangible way that we can all assimilate and have the concerns of the general managers and others answered, really requires someone to spend full time working on this, concentrated effort, so that this person, and the reason I think Rob is so qualified is because he went through this process with the programming policy, so he already knows who all of the parties that he needs to speak to throughout the network, and get kind of input, and more importantly, the kinds of questions to which we need the answers. And so some of these questions will simply be, and I have half a dozen questions myself, but I am confident that if we have someone in there and I send the questions to the person who is hired, that then when we have our PMB meeting, and I think that Greg's schedule is a very reasonable one, then we can have the answers to the questions. It's not like we're signing, you know, Pacifica away or anything like that. We're simply looking at some seriously, however, not preliminarily, but seriously, as to how to move the foundation forward and make it competitive in this new world of digitized, you know, new world that we live in. And so I wholeheartedly embrace it. I also embrace it because in terms of the community that I serve, in terms of the Latino community and other communities of color that I serve, who tend to be very disenfranchised, who look to Pacifica for that next step in how to get the information and their real needs, not the needs that we up here think that they have, but the real needs and the real issues that they're struggling with, that the only way we can really facilitate that, given the limited number of airwave hours that we have, is to go on the net and to go in this direction. So I think we would be very remiss in our responsibility not to wholeheartedly embraces at this juncture to look into it, and then we'll get the answers.
Wendy, did you get me?
Yes, I got you. Back? Thank you so much, Lydia. Mary's next.
Okay, I would like to, I have a resolution I would like to put forth, and in hopes if it passes, this committee would bring it to the PNB. And because I think that this committee, I think Pacifica needs to do far more than just whatever the legal letter of the law says. We need to avoid any kind of appearance of impropriety or conflict of interest. We should be the vanguard of this for reasons I can go into if people need to hear it.
Okay, tell us the motion.
But the motion is, prior to the acceptance of any employment anywhere within the Pacifica Foundation, a person must resign and vacate any position held on any Pacifica board or any of its committees or subcommittees, including local station boards. That's my resolution, and I can type it and send it to people.
Is there a second?
Yes,
I second need that. A second. It doesn't need a second in committee.
Okay, it's
like
a committee,
yeah.
go ahead, Dave.
Well, other people on the stack first, so if they want to speak to it, they can, or... But I'd like to
actually, I would like to hear from Ray before we go off on this new.
And then I would like a chance to motivate my motion.
We'll give you that.
Well,
Ray, are you there?
Yeah, thank you. Well, actually, I had other concerns. I mean, when I heard, in all the discussions, I've seen Dave's email reminding us that he had been involved personally in pushing Rob to accept the job and. As being somebody who was involved in this for a long time. But nevertheless, I'm uncomfortable with the concept, although the attorney told us that clearly it's legal. For me, if not morally, in a practical sense, it's kind of a gray area that I'm uncomfortable with. However, I would be willing to consider it with some caveats and some modification. For example, I think one of the ways to not only have just another principle, meaning that and a practical notion also, that we get the best person for the job indeed, in spite of the fact that we are on the short leash on this, I would suggest that we post the job, like we've done before, for a short period of time, let's say 2 weeks, through the different websites and listservs and other venues that we used in the past, and that that this be submitted to what is it called, the licensing and distribution task, to look at what those individuals. And I would welcome Rob to apply for this. And the second advantage of doing this, besides the principle of it, would be that indeed Rob, in this case, would be able to demonstrate is either will be the only person applying for the job, would be able to demonstrate is indeed is that he's the best person for the job. Now, because it is limited to 3 months, then I think it's also acceptable, as our attorney just said. Although I saw some of Rob's presentation, and some of it was kind of vague, and I would like to hear a little bit more about some practical ways to put some of those ideas in application. One more factor that I have is the pay. I think that that even though as a labor organizer I argue for workers to make more money, and that makes sense to me, I think in this case if you compare the salary for the temporary position to other positions on Pacifica, I think that a more reasonable figure would be to reduce it by $1,000, make it to $4,000 instead of $5,000. So these are the points I wanted to make at this point, and I also was thinking about making resolution. I have to brief more or less some of the language, but I'll hold on to that also.
Let me just say something. This is Wendy. You're Ray. These are all really great points, and that you're saying that you want to have more conversations about this. Everybody has a lot of questions, and I'm just going to caution this committee to, or just to remind everybody that we need the full board's input on all of this stuff. We will get a lot more opinions when we bring it to the full board, and that's a really good thing.
If I may say something quickly, Wendy, this is Ray.
Sure.
What I'm suggesting is not to exclude the board, but rather just to have a resolution that we would present from this committee to the board, if this committee agrees to it.
Yeah, great. Okay. And so I think Ray's working on a motion, and Mary made one, and we're going to give her a chance to motivate her motion.
Yes, thank you.
Can you remind us again, before you start, tell us what it is again, Mary.
Okay. Prior to the acceptance, any employment anywhere within the Pacifica Foundation, person must resign from and vacate any position held on any Pacifica board and or any of its committees or subcommittees, including local station boards.
Okay.
And I'm a person who has been involved for many years, way before 1999, saw the hijackers begin to take over, saw how they did it, and saw how we all involved at that time wanted to make sure such things never happened anymore. That was the blurring of boundaries that are certainly ethical, if not strictly legally required, was a key element in the way they proceeded on all levels. And Pacifica, with the mission that it has to look into causes of conflict, to all of the things that are in our statement of purpose for which we were incorporated, I think needs to go far beyond what the minimum needed by some other kind of organization. And there is, whether it's legally improper or not, there is certainly a strong appearance of impropriety and very, very, very strong conflict of interest. People get on boards and then they can get jobs. This is already being laughed at cynically by people I have heard from, and these are not partisan people. They're not in any of the fights that some people here may be in. Talk about just neutral people who love this foundation and love the radio. And I don't see any reason why, if someone wants to consider having a job, they would not themselves immediately offer to do it. But in any case, this would be a standard that would be adhered to. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what the job. This is a job. It is not a piecework thing. It's not a pro bono consultant thing which people do in a short term. It's a 3-month job. And this way, if it extends, fine. If it doesn't, fine, whatever. But the person is not at the time sitting in any governing capacity. There is no conflict of interest, and nobody can bring any. That's at least the start.
Okay.
In future, I think we will want to conform to other things that other people do, such as not being able to apply for a job for a specified length of time. For this moment, at least it's a beginning, and it would be hard for me to find any reason to argue against it, frankly.
Okay, thank you, Mary. I heard Lydia's voice. Are you trying to get on the stack for this?
No, I changed phones.
Excellent. Okay, so I guess I heard Dave. Anybody else?
Madam Chair, could you turn the volume down a little bit? You're really loud.
Can you turn yours up? I cannot hear you, sir.
Well, I'm going to mute myself as much as I can. So do we have anybody else besides Dave? All right, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, a couple things about this. First of all, it seems a little biased to me because, of course, people who already have the status of, quote, insiders within the station are perfectly free to take jobs. In fact, many of them already have jobs and they serve on governance. And my own feeling is that this thing is a very sweeping motion that's being brought at a moment like this when there's, well, I'm going to be even more blunt. I think there are certain folks all around the foundation who don't want to see governance have, don't want to see governance people in a position to be interacting in the station on any other terms than governance. And I understand that impulse, but I also understand the reality of Pacifica. And if you want to start talking about, for example, insider advantage, that's sort of the dominant mode if you look around in the stations. And I just don't think that it's appropriate at this moment to adopt a sweeping statement like this without deliberation. I want to point out that when I raised the contracts policy, the need for a policy on contracts, because, you know, our executives were entering into some fairly substantial contracts, and in at least some cases I found out about them through press releases, that we took a year and a half to go through that deliberative process. Our bylaws define what needs to be done in the event when there are conflicts of interest. That's in our bylaws. And so I guess I understand the sentiment, but I think it's sort of a bit too sweeping. For example, the example I've given before is if you have an attorney who's helping you out on a case that the foundation's involved in at a pro bono level, and then something happens and they need to do more, then you might want to hire them. If you have somebody who's helping out on an event, the idea that, well, as a board member, if you were going to be, you know, spending full time, well, you absolutely couldn't have any funding. But, of course, if you're involved in the station in any other way, you can. I just think it's a false division. And this whole, no impropriety, no sniff of impropriety. I can guarantee you if I scratch even an inch deep, you can find a reason to claim that somebody's behaving in an inappropriate way everywhere you look. So I guess I'd like to refer this to the governance committee and let them address whether we can come up with a policy that still permits reasonable latitude, but goes to what I think is the well-meaning intent here, which is to be sure that people aren't using positions of privilege to do things that are, in their interest as opposed to in the interest of the foundation. I do think there are cases when it's in the interest of the foundation to be able to take advantage of the skills of members who arrived at the foundation via governance. So it's a motion to refer to the governance committee.
Okay.
To be clear, I'm not sure where that puts what we're discussing right now. Does that have any impact on that?
Yeah, Ray talked about some things, but if this motion to refer it to governance is approved, then we'd move on to other aspects of this issue. So it's a motion to move Mary's motion to refer it to governance.
Right, and But we're talking about a motion to advise the PNB that the coordinating committee would like to have more discussion on this issue of hiring Rob Robinson to do this digital distribution thing. Would, if you refer Mary's to governance, does that put the whole thing on hold?
No, we just go back to the main discussion.
Okay. All right, is there discussion on Dave's motion to refer?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Clear.
This simply takes my motion off the table, but it doesn't change anything, and I'm a little surprised about that. It doesn't matter whose motion it would be, but I think that's a, if we refer the issue to governance, my motion is a suggestion as to how, to handle this issue. How can we go ahead and talk about it as if I had not made that motion? And we could go ahead and hire him, and the governance committee would still be discussing whether or not my motion should be accepted or not. But I don't think that makes any sense.
How can we
discuss this issue without the issue of whether or not the board member should resign?
Go away.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm not saying that we can't talk about the issue of what Rob should do. In fact, I think my own opinion is that we need to be attentive to the opinions that have been expressed by people about this, because the success of the project depends on being able to build consensus and come to consensus. And if there's a large number of people who are outraged about it, that's not going to happen. But I think that what you're proposing is a sweeping motion that is drop it on the table right here, and this is going to apply to all cases. And I think it needs to be deliberated. The contracts policy took a year and a half to deliberate. And in the interim period, you could do whatever you want. So, and in this case, I think we do need to talk about what's the best way to deal with the concerns in the specific case of Rob Robinson. And so I don't see any contradiction if we refer the larger issue to governance. I think it's, at the level of a bylaws change, frankly. So I think the larger question should go to governance. I don't think that excludes having the specific discussion about what Rob should do or what we should ask Rob to do if he's going to take this gig.
Well, I happen to agree. Just a second, Ray. I think that's exactly correct. It would be great to have one big policy that says one thing or another, and then we don't go through all this, people being nervous about the motives of everybody else and all that kind of stuff. We'd have a policy, and we all know that when we have a policy in Pacifica, everybody just goes along with it. And So anyway, I'm thank you for clarifying that. There's a motion to refer the issue to the governance committee. And as a member of the governance committee, I'm telling you that we had our first meeting last night. And we've been trying to get it together since January, but we had to wait until everybody got elected and everybody could agree on a date. And so we had our first meeting last night. So that's really great. But it's really great. The governance committee had a meeting last night, and I'd like to call on Ray next.
I have a point of information.
Yeah.
I think Dave answered it, but it was not clearly stated in his motion. You are saying that this in no way would prevent the process from moving forward, that you would move forward to hire Rob.
I was saying that we could. That referring this, Mary's motion to governance committee, wouldn't prevent the member or anybody here saying, okay, I'd like to make a specific motion on the question of Rob, and I'd be prepared to debate that question in this specific instance, and I'd rather spend that time than spend the time debating whether we should have never, you can never do this thing, when in fact our bylaws, corporation code, and a whole lot of other foundations permit and have procedures for availing yourself to the skills of board members, and not just governing board members, but then to extend it to all members when you already have members sitting on boards who have conflicts of interest in that they are paid employees. It just doesn't seem balanced to me.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak on the motion to refer?
Yes, this is Lydia, also from the Governance Committee, and I do believe that Dave is correct, and it would be appropriate for the larger issue to be sent to Governance. I think key is what Chandra mentioned and what Dave just mentioned, and which was controversial. This notion that this was not controversial is not accurate. At the time when we added staff paid and unpaid to the boards, it was very controversial, specifically because there were attorneys who were telling us this was seen as the appearance of a conflict of interest and that it's very unusual. So we would have to look at that as well. So it's a large issue when you're talking about real conflict of interest and the appearance of conflict of interest. There are various categories and so on and so forth. So I do agree aspects of it can be discussed in specifically to Rob, but I think that it is appropriate to refer to Governance.
Would anybody like to offer language stating that it's the larger issue that's being referred?
Dave, I don't think we need to. The language of the motion speaks for itself. The motion is being referred.
Then I'd like to call for a vote. Do you want to speak, sir? Go ahead.
A couple of minutes. You know, I think Mary's motion, even though it's broad and it's wide sweeping, I agree with that, what Dave said. And it needs to be talked about. I think that just like every other, you know, area of conflict, we send it to some committee and it sits there for 2-3 years and it rots and never comes out anything out of that. And in the meantime, all kind of damage gets done and people have all kind of conflict of interest, as they pointed out. And I think maybe we ought to open it up and discuss it here or refer it and into our agenda on the PNB meeting where the body as a whole meets. And let's discuss it in open.
Are you speaking against the motion to refer?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I can express my opinion. We weren't taking for and against, right?
I'm just trying to clarify what you're saying.
I mean, are we supposed to?
No, we're actually having a good time. Everybody's allowed to speak.
Oh, no. Okay, so then that's it. That's all I'm saying. What I'm saying is refer it to the full board, and let's discuss it there. We don't need to send it to the governing committee there and where it sits there for years. I think there's a lot of dissatisfaction around the network here, I see, where people are not trusting what we are doing. They're saying they're people doing some underhanded things. And I think it needs to be in the open. We should put it on the Pacific National Board meeting agenda in Washington, D.C. So that's what I think.
I'll call on you in just a second, Ray. I'm going to add that I'm thrilled that we're having all this interest on this issue. It helps so much to have input from all over the place and have people be interested in what the PNB is doing and participating rather than coming back later and saying that you did it all wrong. I think it's really healthy and great. Go ahead, Ray.
I think both Dave's motion and what Sarv just suggested achieve the same thing, specifically that it brings the issue to the board. I would support Dave's motion, though, just to support the quiziness that I have against such sweeping changes without looking into it in a more serious fashion. So basically what all we're doing now is voting on a motion that would ask the PNB to refer this to a different committee. So either way, we'll go to the PNB. Right.
Mary Bird, may I make a substitute motion? Please.
Sure.
Rather than tie all this up, if these changes are so sweeping that they would even require bylaws changes, perhaps.
Can you speak a little louder, Mary, please?
Oh, well, let's see. I'll try. I don't know. How is this?
That's better.
I can't actually tell.
I'm sort of wired for something new here. Okay. The idea was to, perhaps this was ill-worded by me if Dave is talking about bylaws changes. That's not what I had thought. So let me make a substitute motion that will not be so sweeping, and we don't have to be dealing with all that. So I'll just have essentially the same language, but it will refer just to Rob in this one situation. Prior to the acceptance of employment in the Pacifica Foundation, Rob Robinson must resign and vacate any position held on Pacifica Board or any of its committees or subcommittees, including local station boards. I sent you the resolution, so it's the same thing but scaled down, as was suggested by Dave and others, to apply only to the particular situation of Rob and the proposed his proposed hire.
Can I speak to it?
Yeah, I was going to say I'll take a stack on this. I got Dave, then Ray. Anybody else?
Okay. My question is, Mary, given particularly what the discussion you heard in Berkeley was, do you think if we did this that essentially satisfies the content? I mean, Ray's got this other issue about possibly posting it, and I've got mixed feelings about that because, although this has been widely portrayed as a consultant gig, this is actually what we're really doing is asking Rob to be able to spend the time necessary to pull together all the pieces of a project that he's been involved with for a while. And I think the argument against is also goes beyond the, there's two components that are, or several components that I read in that KPFA petition. And one has to do with, the problem of having divided interests on the board and whether as a board member, if you're getting certain advantages, that affects how you vote. And then the other piece of it is saying, hey, look, you shouldn't be able to fund somebody to do board work or coming out of board work. And, my interest is in figuring out a way to make this happen in a way that meets the legitimate concerns. So if we were to say, okay, Rob, we want you to step off the board, let's just take it as a hypothetical that I would agree to that. Does that really solve the problems? Or at the moment you do that, is there now a whole other wave of stuff that says, well, and that's still corrupt because of all this background, so it doesn't really advance you anywhere?
That's going to be always the case in every case.
So you're asking me about...
Yeah, well, welcome to Pacifica, right?
Right.
I mean, you're asking me what people in Berkeley think, and I can't say what other
people... Okay, you and Sarf, who are here, what's your feeling? Would passing that really deal with the bulk of the concerns so people could feel good about it? Or is the answer, it's a grudging thing anyway?
Well, since you're asking me, you want me to answer?
Yeah.
Only if Wendy
were
right.
I'm sorry. What? Somebody else is talking to me.
I was joking.
Oh. All right.